Chapter 6, 1 to 10.
Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives the instruction in the word should share all the good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, however, sows to please their flesh. From the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Thank you. And he's quite strong. Do you feel strong, Isaac?
Yeah.
Come on then, up you come. I need a timer on the screen as well. We're going to test how strong Isaac is. Right, stand in the middle just there. Have you got a timer? Yeah, right, hold your arms out. No, it's like that.
Oh.
Right, hold that in that hand. Hold that in that hand. Right, you ready at the back? Right, we're going to see how long he can hold the Bible. Go. I'm hoping he's not that strong because he might get a bit bored. Oh. The timer's gone. We could be for a long time. Well, the longer you're there, the less I'll preach, so maybe it'll be a good thing. You stand to shake. Yes. Has he hit the wall yet? He's doing better than I would, I'm sure. Oh, he's going. Right, Jake and Callum, can you come and help him, please? So, Jake, you come hold, help him with the left arm. Callum, you come hold his right arm. Right, so hold his, come around behind him and hold his arm. Help him right there. Right, so. They're going to stay there while I do bring the word, so that's fine. Obviously, you see the point. I'm sure Isaac was doing very well.
Is this fair?
But obviously, it's a bit blatant effect that he can stay a lot longer now he's got people helping him. But I'm going to release him from his burden and his friends. So thank you, guys, for making that point. So friendship is about holding the Bible, yeah? For long periods of time. No, it's not quite. I'm going to wait for the Sting video now. physique. You right? Oh, friendship. Probably speaks it clearer than I could. So, although we've mentioned the word friendship, as I alluded to earlier, relationships and relational well-being is more than just those we know and are friends with, and also in relationship with in a formal manner. But we're going to spend some time this morning, not too long, just thinking about what the Bible says about relationship and what it should mean, or what healthy relationships help us with. But the majority of the work will be done during the week in live groups and those connect groups, where the video, and you have a chance to explore a lot more deeper what relational well-being is all about. We're just going to watch a very short video clip to help put it in context. That video resonates with you. It might be something you're very familiar with, Facebook. It might be something you avidly avoid. I'm not on an anti-Facebook crusade, just to let you know. It's something I've always struggled with, using Facebook effectively. Anytime I use Facebook, I seem to get myself in trouble because I say or do the wrong thing. But relational well-being is all about the connections that we make, how we communicate with each other. And the well-being series gives us that opportunity to explore more what it means to relate to each other. When we meet in life groups, when we meet in church morning, such as this, when we gather in any circumstance, whether it be one or two of us, obviously more than one, but two of us or more, there's some sort of relational thing going on. And we like to think that our friendships and relationships, we want to keep them good and positive and build on them. We were created for relationship. The story of Genesis in the Old Testament is all about God creating us to be in relationship with Him in a what's called a vertical relationship. God, our Creator, in relationship with us. That we're more than just created beings, that we're there to be in communion with God. And also, He created us to be in relationship with each other, horizontal. And we all want to feel that need for connection. And in terms of our well-being, if we have or lose that connection with people, then it starts to become an issue and we start to struggle. And we've already heard in previous weeks with emotional well-being and Adrian's testimony again, referring to about depression and when we feel we're not connecting with people, it can be a real struggle. It's interesting the world we live in now, that with technology, we live in an age where we can connect and communicate faster than we ever have before, quicker, which is faster, quicker, immediate connection. I mean, I don't know if you remember a few years ago, when I was sort of a young teenager, I used to say to my friends as we left school, I'll meet you down the park at 6. And that was it. And I had to trust that they would be there at 6. I'd go there, turn up, and they were there, and we used to spend time with each other. Or, as Catherine remembered, spending many hours sitting in the hallway on a phone with this cord going to the device until her parents moaned at her to get off the phone. But now we live in technology age where I can text someone. Immediate, effective communication. It can be very helpful in building relationships. But how often, if they don't reply immediately, do we start to feel a bit paranoid? Why haven't they replied? Maybe something's happened to them. Why haven't they replied? Do they not like me anymore? Do they not want to be my... And you start having all these thoughts because we're used to this immediate and a speed response as well. You send an email and you don't get a reply for a few hours. You start to feel a bit of problems because we're basing our relationships on communication and connection. But there's an issue with that sort of relationship in this day and age, in that response times. And we're starting to build up distant relationships. It's not about physical proximity. It's about our friends are people who we think we know, who we can connect to. But we're starting to feel distant and detached from those relationships, as that video shows. Things like Facebook and all these other tools, they start us to think about our self-worth and what we mean to people. And we start thinking about ourselves. We post on Facebook and people like it or dislike it. And you start to question that and think, oh, I've got good friends. I've got lots of friends. As Val commented as well in her testimony about Facebook having 400 friends. But they're not really friends. They're not really in relationship with you. It's a kind of a false connection in some ways. Or we develop a spy culture where we see what everyone's doing. We know what everyone's doing, what they've eaten, where they've gone. And then when you meet up with them in person, you've got nothing to say because you know it all. You've seen it all. I think the self-interest of communication is becoming an issue in how we relate in our relationships. And they become less healthy because the inclination is turned into about self. It's the me instead of the we. And the problem with our relational well-being, if we're not careful, is that we lose the connection and communication because we think as technology and we use it as a tool, it can replace that. When I say I'm not here to beat up Facebook or technology, it can be used in great ways. But I think it's just one of the things which is trapping us into a way of relational well-being that we shouldn't be in. It's not all bad though. Communication is good and healthy and important in friendship. Sharing what's going on in our lives is important. Sharing knowledge and experience all help to build us up together. And it does build connection. But what does the Bible say about what it means to be relational well with each other? We've read two stories this morning, one from Luke and one from Galatians. And they give slightly different aspects of what friendship is all about. But the end result is still the same. In Galatians, it's talking about restoration of relationships. Why would we talk about it? Because we don't always get it right. We say the wrong things, do the wrong things, and we can upset each other very, very easily. Or you have children who are brutally honest. When you're around people's houses, open up really can of worms that you didn't want them to share. And that's from experience. But it's important that we understand that when things go wrong, there has to be a striving to restore that relationship. And it might not go back to what it was. So we heard from Val that for her, restored relationships were blessing and have been fruitful. And sometimes our relationships aren't as easy to restore. But it's an issue that we should seek to do everything we can to build on our relationships. But I think the most important message from Galatians, and it's the same thing spoken in Luke, is about carrying each other's burdens. That as we build relationships, as I said earlier, it's not about the me, it should be about the we, together. Okay? Not expect others to do things for you. I slipped that in earlier about what a friend looks like. Is it someone who can do things for us? And that's good to have friends who have different experiences and skills than we have. So if you've got a friend who's good at DIY and you're not, then that's good to have those as friends. But it's not just about what they can do for you. As Galatians say, as we have opportunity, we've got to do good for all people. And we keep talking about friendship, I don't mean to, because that's the best and closest that relationship we have. But we are in relationship with others, and we need to seek out what we can do for them. It's quite an easy command, isn't it? Simple. Find people in need and help them. Not for ourselves, though. It's not for our own benefit, our own glorification. It's very clear that Galatians says it's for Christ. Because Christ has done it for us, we should do it for others. And the story of Luke helped bind that together, because what you've got is you've got friends who are wanting to help their friend. How do they want to help him? Well, they know that Jesus can bring healing. So they do everything they can to bring their friend to Jesus. They climb up the side of the house because they can't get in because there's a big crowd. They take off the roof, which is a bit easier in houses in those times. It wasn't quite as secure as our roof today. But they still had to take the roof away and lower their friend down in front of Jesus. They were determined to help and do anything at any cost. So it must have been dangerous. Can't have been easy. Everyone looking and going, what are they doing? They're helping their friend. And what are we willing to do in our relationships? What are we willing to do to help others that we encounter? I think the biggest challenge from those stories is about Jesus. And the best way we can help our friends and have healthy relationships is to bring Jesus into them. Think about what Jesus has done for us. I spoke earlier about vertical and horizontal relationships. Well, in the beginning, our relationship with God was great and we could be with him. But it all went wrong and we couldn't have that vertical relationship. But through Jesus, down on the cross, enabled us to have that restorative relationship with God. That means we can have that. And because we've got it for ourselves, we want to share that with others. But it's only because of Christ that we have that and know that. And that's the ultimate relationship. What the Father does for us is what we should do for others. And that horizontal relationship as well. If we keep in mind about how Jesus relates to people and relates to us, what he brings us, carrying our burdens. As he says in Matthew, my burden is light. There still is one, but we've got to look to Christ in all our relationships to see how he would deal and handle them and how we would deal and handle them. Just a few words to help us think. And like I say, there'll be a great opportunity for discussion in life groups and connect groups this week. And if you can't make your one or you want to get involved, then get in touch with reception and we can help you find one temporarily to help us. To help us reflect a little bit more, Callum and Rosanna are going to come and read a poem that's not written by Sheila. And that's no offence to Sheila, a residential poet laureate. We love you and your words. But this is a poem I found as I was preparing a funeral last week. I was just looking for something and this popped out and this really spoke to me this morning about sharing one another's burdens. So if Callum and Rosanna, where's Rosanna? Oh, she's there. I do. He's doing first. It's got to be on screen as well.
Sometimes we don't always have the words to help a burden friend. Though it helps when we're there to listen, it says we understand. You may have had a burden to share when you felt no one would listen. Then God filled you with his comfort. You found your spirit strength.
At times the words roll off the tongue, in others valley of tears and sorrow. God gives us the word to say, they speak his grace and power. Tears have a way of touching God's heart as we share grief. God knows the language of the heart before we even thought to speak.
God sees in every fathering word. In them there's a healing balm. The kind of uplifts and strengthens to make us weaklings strong. God is long-suffering towards us. He is acquainted with all our dealings. Our comforter is with us. His promise to give us joy, peace, and inner healing.
Sometimes we don't always have the words to help a burdened friend, though it helps when we're there. Good relationships are all about being there for each other, supporting each other, listening to each other, and listening to each other. And everyone has a burden that they need to share. And we can share with God, and we should share them with each other. So I hope this morning you feel challenged, maybe, of relationships that you're struggling with. Maybe you're feeling blessed about a relationship that's really going well. But you're not alone. God is with us. And if it's something you are struggling with and you want to chat to someone, then come speak to me, Ricky, one of the elders, Paul, and Linda, who's at the back. We're happy to share and listen, but we're all capable of doing so. And we all want to pray for each other in our relationships. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have created us to be in relationship with you and each other. And we know, Lord, that sometimes our relationships are not where they should be. Sometimes we struggle in our relationship with you, Lord, not knowing, not being with you, and feeling far from you in circumstances. We just ask, Lord, that you help us through your Spirit to feel close to you in those times, and to give us the words and comfort that we need to help bring us back to you. And Lord, we also pray for those relationships with our friends and family and others, which can be sometimes strained and difficult. We pray you give us the peace and the patience to think and deal with those. And where forgiveness and restoration is needed, lead us into that. And Lord, we like to pray for those relationships which are a blessing to us, those friends who are great at listening, getting involved, helping us share the burden. We thank you for them. And we pray, Lord, you help us to also be those relationships to others, serving people in their need, listening to those in difficulty, and sharing life together. So we just thank you, Lord, for relationships. And just pray that as a church family, as we explore this further during the week and further weeks, what it means to be well relationally, that you help us to learn more about you and how you want to relate to us. Amen.